Let the church once again say amen. Amen. God has been good once again to us. And we should always start that off, start it off every day by saying, thank you, Lord, for letting me be here another day. Because He did not have to allow us to be here. But He's good that way, isn't He, church? Yes, He is. And many of us have had many more days than some of us. And we, in particular, ought to be everlastingly thankful that He has given us those days. And to be remembered by God as one who has served Him well is a good thing. For we want to be a well-served servant when that time arrives. And Brother Jackson, the way it goes is you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And even if you don't pray for me, I'll pray for you just the same. This morning from the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses number 7 as was read for your hearing. And we'll reread it in a moment. But first, we want to go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, You are the greatest God in the world. You are the only God in this world that we can serve in spirit and in truth. We thank You, Father, that You are God and that You have allowed us to be ourselves, O Heavenly Father. And all You ask from us is that we be obedient to Thy words and Thy commands and follow Thy teachings, O Lord. We thank You this morning that You have blessed us at least one more time, given us one more opportunity that we can come out and serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, Father, for those who are here this morning. We thank You, Father, for those who can't be here this morning but would like to be here. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for them, especially those who are sick this morning. We pray that if it be Thy will, O Lord, that You would give them a healing touch, that they may once again be able to come out and be with us once again. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation, that You would bless them and their families, that they may continue to lead this congregation. And Father, do it in a righteous manner, in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in Thy sight. We pray for each and every member here in this congregation this morning that they may serve You righteously, O Lord, and live a righteous life. We pray for their families as well, and we pray for those brethren who have taken a part in the services thus far. We pray and ask You, Father, to be with them and their families as well, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying for that one who may not have had the opportunity yet or who has not taken the opportunity yet to meet Thee. And, Father, we pray that a space and time may be granted for him, that he, him or her, that they may meet You, Father, before it is everlastingly too late. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those this morning that are in the audience here this morning. And we pray for those who may still be on their way, that if it's Your will, that they may make it here safely and securely. We pray also, Heavenly Father, for those who are traveling this day, that if it be Your will, that their travels may be safe, that they may get to their destination and then be able to return to be with us once again. Father, we pray for those who are raising children, because raising children this day is not an easy task. And we pray that You give them strength to do Your will and to raise them up right, O Lord, in Your name's sake. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for Your Son Jesus, who because He went to the cross, we have an opportunity to come to heaven, O Lord. And we thank You for the salvation that was purchased for us through His cross, O Lord, and by His blood of that cross. We thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in this congregation, those who are members as well as those who may be visitors this morning. And we pray that, Father, that all would be righteous and good for them this morning, and that these services that we are now entering into, that all that has been entered into so far and all that shall be entered in from this point on shall be found favorable and acceptable in Thy sight. Then, Father, when we have walked our last mile, when we have said our last prayer, when we have sang our last hymn, when we have said, glory be to God in the final analysis of our lives, we pray for a home with Thee. And in Your Son Jesus' name, we continue to pray and ask all of these blessings, O Lord. Let us all say amen. Amen. this morning from that 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses number 7. Once again, we're going to talk this morning about be sober, watch, and pray. And the text says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. There was once a time when people respected God's word. They accepted it and they obeyed it. But now people want to challenge God and His word. They challenge it by rejection, disobedience, and misinterpretation or reinterpretation, if you will. There are two things that should stand out in the mind of all Christians. Number one, death is coming. And number two, there is going to be a return of Christ Jesus. That means the end of all things as we know it is now upon us, is coming upon us. When we examine the text today, we find that the writer says the end of all things is at hand. Meaning to those living then, that Jewish nation was coming to an end as was foretold by Christ. It speaks to us that same thing shall happen to us. It speaks to us as Christians to let us know that salvation in the end is really, truly near us. Look at the text again where it says once again, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Jesus in His teachings always taught responsible living in light of His impending return, and that teaching is for us today as well. So what's going to come to an end, church? Well, sin and sorrow shall come to an end. As Christians, we are to learn and to practice self-control. And self-control is hard for some of us. Self-control is something that we've got to learn to obey and do if we want to live a righteous life. We've got to learn and practice self-control in order to free ourselves from the grip of sin. Sin is a sickness. For every teardrop that falls, every broken home that's broken up, every heartbreak that hurts, every war and every crime, sin plays a part in each and every one of these things. Jesus taught in chapter 37 of Luke chapter 12, He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He comes, shall find watching. And then in verse number 43, He said, blessed is that servant when the Lord comes, shall find him so watching. Sin may be fun now, but someone wrote in the Roman book that we get paid by what we do. It is said that the ways of sin is death. So even though you may enjoy having fun now as a sinner, one day you're going to have to pay. Even though sin may seem like it's fun right now, you've got to watch out and be asking yourself this question. Is this sin worth my soul? And just in case you may not know it, sin cannot be hidden from God. You see, sin, according to the Old Testament, in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 8, the Bible says that thou hast set our iniquities before thee. The writer of the psalmist was saying, you know all about it already. Our secret sins you see. And I know we may be able to hide some things in secret from one another. You can hide, men, something from your wife, and wife, you can hide something from your husband. But God still sees it all. Whether our lives stretch out to 80 years or more, it is God who is still in charge. It is God who still knows everything about us. It is in the Bible where it is said that 1,000 years in God's sight is but as yesterday. Our lives are like grass. It flourishes up and grows up in the morning. But then in the evening it is cut down and withers. And some Christian and some folks feel they can continue in sin. But just as the grass withers away, so will our lives. Sin is a source of displeasure. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we don't get along and stay holy, we can forget about heaven as our eternal resting place. When sin and sorrow enters and comes into our lives, there will be no more worrying about the pleasures of this life, because we take sin as our pleasure-driven a source of things. We take sin as the right way to go. Some of us are so wrapped up and tied up in sin that we can't break free and know what God wants for us to do. No more hiding, no more peeping, and no more looking over your shoulders. That's when sin comes to an end, church. No life is without sorrow. And if you haven't experienced sorrow, let me tell you something about sorrow. You just hold on. You just wait for a few minutes and sorrow will come into your life. I'll guarantee that sorrow is coming. And if it's not coming, that means you've already had some sorrows in your life. Or you may be going through some sorrows right now. But it's all coming to an end. The end is at hand. Look at the text again. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. It's coming, church. The end of sin is coming one day, and some of us need to get our lives together. And you say, well, preacher, we're the church. You need to be talking to the world. Well, I am. I'm talking to the world through you. You can go out and tell somebody. You see, I can't teach everybody. I can only teach those who are under the sound of my voice. But you can carry the message farther. Do you know that we as Christians are all supposed to be in the soul-saving business, not just the preacher? The offer of salvation is also coming to an end. The time is at hand, the text says, that all things are coming to an end. The offer of salvation will soon be non-existent. Mercy will no longer be offered. Grace shall come to an end. The bar of judgment will soon be opened. And then the book of life, according to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The time is at hand when the church shall no longer be able to offer prayer up on your behalf. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, James wrote, availeth much. All I'm saying is that if it gets too late in your life, even the righteous in the church won't be able to pray for you. You already know that the world can't help you, but there'll also be a time when the righteous will not be able to help you neither. All things are coming to an end. And I know there are some folk who will welcome the fact that the preacher won't be preaching anymore. The preacher won't be pleading for their souls any longer. Others may wish for the preacher or the teacher or even the elders to come and be, or even just a bench member to come and pray for them. Do you remember in Luke chapter 16 where the rich man wanted a teacher to go to his family, but he asked a little too late? It will be too late if one dies outside of Christ. Well, how do you know that? Well, I want you to watch what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? You know, and this is something that we need to consider, church. If I'm going to church every Sunday, if I'm going to church on Wednesday night to my Bible class, if I'm trying to do the right thing, if I'm praying for the sick and I'm trying to help feed the hungry, if I'm doing everything just right, and then still I may scarcely just get in, what about the man who's doing nothing? He doesn't have a chance. So that scripture leaves us with a question mark. It gives us all a chance to consider and think before you answer. Let me read it again, or let me repeat it again. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Now that's a question for your mind this morning. That's a question for all of us to take really seriously this morning. Because all of these things, according to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, are going to come to an end. All of these things are going to come to an end. The choice to serve God is also coming to an end. The Bible says, be sober, watch, and be in prayer. Be ready to pray. It tells us that that lets us to know that that means to keep your attitude and your mind in a calm manner, clear and ready to offer up prayer. And you know, our Bible lesson this morning was about praying. And you know something? I understood that because I'm one of those people who think a lot about prayer. I think a lot on the word prayer when you bring that word out. I think prayer ought to be something that we normally do. It shouldn't be the abnormal. It shouldn't be what we think to do when we get sick. It shouldn't be what you do when you run into troubles in your life. It shouldn't be what you do when you sit down to eat a bite of food. Some folk think the only time they ought to pray is to ask God to bless this food, this meat I'm about to put in my mouth. But that's not the only time to pray. You are supposed to pray for everything. You are supposed to pray and ask God to give you the strength to carry through on everything that you do in this life. In Luke chapter 21 and around verse number 34, the Bible says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart may be overcharged with suffering. That means overeating and drunkenness and cares in this life, so that the day comes upon you unaware. That's what he means by be watchful and pray, because some of us are going to be so caught up in the frivolities of this life that we're not going to remember to keep alert and be sober. This means too much food and too much drink can cause our senses to become dull. It means we can be drawn into going with the flow, whether the flow is right or whether the flow is wrong. And besides this, overeating is not good for your heart. So when you think about it, church, you've got to be careful. In other words, don't get so caught up in life that you lose sight of your religious affairs. When you lose sight of your religious affairs, things are just not great, church. Things are not great when you lose sight of your religious affairs, because priority number one for Christians ought to be the mindset of having God there all the time. When you think about it, you may ask yourself the question, how much time is left? Well, I can certainly tell you this. Probably if you're of any age, got a little age on you, you've probably got more days behind you than you have in front of you. So you need to consider that fact. I remember getting a little bit older myself, and I began to think on these things, and I said to myself, you don't have that much time. You don't have as much time as you did when you were 20. You don't have as much time as you did when you were 30. You know, when you were 20, you thought 30 was old, but when you got 30, you say it's not old enough. I want to keep on living. I want to go on in this life. How much time is left? Well, I can't answer the question. All I know that in John chapter 4 and verse number 35, the Bible says, say not that there are yet 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white and all ready to harvest. In other words, God is telling us, letting us know that the time is moving on. He's telling us about the spiritual harvest, that it's always ready and we must be ready to reap before it's too late. Now is the time that we need to be ready for tomorrow is not promised to us. Can you think about that? You know, we make plans a lot of times. We all make plans. Next year, I'm going to go on a cruise. Next year, I'm going to go on a vacation. Not knowing, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, because that cruise may still be cruising, but it may be cruising without you. That airplane trip may be still, that airplane may still be flying, but you may not be on that airplane. So you've got to ask the Lord if it's your will, what you want to do. Ask Him that it, if it's His will. Do you remember Jesus in the garden, what He did when He went in prayer? He said, not my will, but your will, when He was speaking to His Father. So when we speak to our Father just like Him, we must ask Him if it's His will. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done that I may do these things that I plan to do. But some of us, we don't think like that. Now, if I had a guarantee of, say, 20, 30, or 40 years left, maybe I could take a chance. And take a chance knowing that my guarantee is not going to be up for those number of years. You know, when you go in and you buy tires for your car, or a battery for your car, they give you 30, 40, or 60 months, whatever, on these tires or these batteries. And what they are saying is that if anything happens to this battery or these tires before this time is up, or these miles are up, we'll replace it. But guess what? What if that store is not there? That guarantee is only good, only worth as much as the store's reputation. Isn't that right? And stores, I'll tell you today, many stores, old line stores, are closing their doors. I didn't think Weebo's and Goldblatt's was ever going to close, but neither one of them are here anymore. So we've got to remember that God is not letting us know how much time we have. You don't want a chance that that day may come and you are not ready. So the time to get ready is before it's everlastingly too late. We don't have to get ready for mama. We don't have to get ready for daddy. We don't have to get ready for husband. We don't have to get ready for wife. Nor do we have to get ready for children, but we need to get ready for ourselves. In Acts chapter 17, around verse number 31, the Bible says, He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Isn't that right? Being wrong will not stand. Being wrong will not stand a heavenly chance. And what will we do if we don't have a chance? I'll tell you what to do, and that's get ready, because time is running out. We need to be sober, watch unto prayer, and watch unto prayer. A choice to be made is left to all men, that either you accept God or you reject Him. A rejection is saying to yourself or asking yourself to go to the fires of hell. Acceptance means I will follow God and try to make heaven my home. The worst part of rejection is there's no back door out of hell. If you get there, guess what? You're going to be there. If you get to heaven, the good thing about accepting is when you choose God and when heaven is your eternal resting place, you won't want to leave. Not only will you not look for a back door, you won't want a back door. You will want to stay. You'll ever be so eternally grateful that you won't worry about anything anymore. You won't worry about pain and sorrow. You won't worry about heartaches and trouble. There God will wipe away all tears. There will be no more death. All these things will be passed away. Isn't that a wonderful thought, church? I don't have to worry about nobody anymore. And like I always tell you, when you get there, I'll talk to you once I get inside the gate. But before I get in the gate, don't call my name, because I'm not helping you at all. I try to help you while I was here. But while I'm struggling for because I'm going to be crying and boo-hooing all for myself. Lord, don't send me to that other place. But now once I make it inside the gate, we can talk then. We can talk about some things then. We can remember all kinds of things then. But I tell you something, church. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now that tells me something there. That tells me not only must my mind be clear, I must have a clear mind. But it also tells me to watch. And I've got to be on the lookout for all things that can upset my going home to be with the Master. And then I watch unto prayer. I've got to learn to pray. And I know many folk will have said to me, I don't know how to pray. Well, as long as you can hold a conversation with me, you can pray. As long as you can hold a conversation with somebody else, you can pray. Because a prayer to the Lord is simply opening up your mouth and asking God of what it is that you want. What it is. He already knows what you need, but He wants to know what's on your heart, what's in your heart. So ask God. So being, and go with me, if you will, for 1 second. Give me one moment here, church, and I'll tell you exactly where I'm trying to get you to. I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. I'm about through now. I want you to go to Luke chapter 18 and start at verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that all men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does that mean? That means don't get tired of praying. That means that you are always to have a prayer in your heart. That means that God is expecting you, because that was Jesus speaking, by the way. That means that Jesus is expecting us to be prayerful unto Him. That means that we as Christians must always be willing and ready to give a prayer and offer a prayer. You know, it's easy to tell a sick person, I'll pray for you. But then don't just tell them, I'll pray for you. Pray with them. Don't just tell them, I'll pray when I get home for you, because when you get home, you will probably have forgotten about it. Especially if you got a little age on you, your mind plays tricks on you. But a Christian should never be too far away from a prayer. A Christian should never have his heart so far away from God that he has to think of a prayer. A prayer ought to come naturally. That's why Jesus said, always pray. Always pray. And I think about some of the many praying folk that I have heard over the years. And some folk, they just pray so good and so wonderful. You want to just let them know that how great their prayers sound. But you know something? A good sounding prayer is not necessarily a righteous prayer. And I'm not knocking anybody, but because you sound good doesn't mean that you are getting all the way where I need you to get with me when you're praying for me. And praying is a conversation with God. Praying with and to God means that I care enough to ask the best. I care enough of the best to ask the best. And you've got to be careful. You've got to be very careful, because sometimes people will pray what you ask them to pray for you. And sometimes that may not really be what you really need. And why do you say that, preacher? Because sometimes you're praying for things that you don't really need. I want the Lord to send me a bag of money. Well, that's not a good prayer. Ask God to show you a way to get out of what you may be in. He didn't send you out down the street to use your American Express card. He didn't tell you to charge all this stuff on the American Express. And then you didn't ask Him when you charged all this stuff on the American Express, but now you want Him to get you out of what you charged on the American Express, don't you? That's not a good prayer. Now see, when it comes to giving you your needs, He'll make sure that you have food. He'll give you your food. But He may not. Or some folk even pray, Lord, I'm going over to the boat tonight. I want to have a good night on the boat. God is not going to help you to gamble and have a good night on the boat. Now, I'm not saying you might not win on the boat, but I'm saying don't put God in that, because that's not something that God is involved in. And then, when I saw a person the other day. I think it was Friday, I believe it was. I saw a sick person. And if you ever seen a sick person, I mean a really sick person, a person who's got something that's never going to leave them. You know, and Brother Carter will cry in a minute. And I saw a young lady that had something, I don't know what it was. But she was so very sad, I felt like crying. I held myself and I didn't. But sometimes you need to just pray for people that you see too. Pray for their well-being. You may not know them, but you are to pray for everybody. Pray for your enemies as well as yourself. Pray for me and pray for yourself as well. But just remember, all of these things are going to come to an end, and you've got to be sober, you've got to be watchful, and you've got to be prayerful. As I bring this message to a close this morning, how, preacher, do I get in good with Jesus? Well, you come to Jesus' house. You come to the church that He built. How do I do that? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. We got a pool of water welling and a baptizer who's willing and ready to baptize you, or a person who's a baptizer who will baptize you. And if you've already done that, and there are those who say, well, I did that 40 years ago, but somewhere you went astray and you became a Christian, but you went astray and you need to come back home. You need to be as the prodigal son and come back home. He wanted out. But when he got out, he wanted to get back in. Mm-hmm. That's the way it ought to be with Christians. You want out. If you want out, you ought to come. You ought to do what you have to do if that's what you need to do. And then you ought to come back home. And this is your opportunity as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.